When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and really have a good opportunity here to really learn a lot about what's going on with the Nebraska Cornhuskers. We have Caleb Henry, and for you people who don't realize it, we have a second show, which is called Big Sports Radio, that covers the Big Ten and KLIN in Lincoln, Nebraska, the flagship of the Cornhuskers. Is pretty much the flagship of Big Sports Radio, as they are using us as part of their coverage of the Big Ten. And we're certainly excited to have their partnership. And Caleb Henry has been on the show before. Caleb, how are Nebraska fans doing? Because I think this could be the most emotionally tenuous stadium full of fans when you put the Illinois fans with the Nebraska fans this Friday night.
It feels in an unnecessary fashion that two programs are playing for their season on a Friday night. And it does, like, that shouldn't be a thing that's happening the first week of October for either of these programs, though the way things set up for Illinois the first several weeks and for Nebraska as well. But there's a lot of nervousness here, despite everyone understanding months ago and everything right up before the season that Matt Rhule does the rebuilding thing. He's going to tear it down and then build it back up. And everyone's good with that until you lose the first two games of the year. Then nobody's good with that. Or you start getting all the injuries and it doesn't look as good as we need it to look in year one because Deion Sanders looks good in Colorado. And I'm just like, well, nobody's ever happy. But on Friday, at least one of our fan bases is going to be happier than what they've been.
Yeah, that is exactly what we'll be talking about. Right after this break, we will talk about what is going on the offensive side of the ball for the Nebraska Cornhuskers. We'll be right back. Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by broadcasting on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. We have over 20 stations, including stations in Chicago, St. Louis, Champaign, Decatur, Springfield, Bloomington, the Quad Cities, Rockford, Peoria, Marion, Quincy, and Jacksonville, amongst others. You can reach over 11 million people in the state of Illinois by partnering with us. Send me an email, mike@IlliniGuys.com, and let's find a way that we can build your business together. And we're back. There was, you know, the inevitable return of us after listening to me talk on commercials. You're going to feel not really that blessed as a listener. I apologize, but we're going to start throwing some questions at Caleb. Caleb, Nebraska comes in here and we know that the quarterback situation has been a little tenuous. What's going on the offensive side of the ball? And let's start off with that quarterback position. What can Illini fans expect out of the quarterback position this Friday?
Well, I think you're going to get the homegrown Husker kid in Heinrich Harburg. Grew up in central Nebraska. As a matter of fact, I was coaching with his dad on a track team when he was in high school. And then I tried to recruit him to come over and be a thrower because I was a throws coach one of those guys who's that kind of athlete that if you get him out for a sport, he's going to be really good.
Yep.
He was too good at sprinting and jumping, and since you only get so many events, I couldn't convince him to come over. So it worked out, got second at state the last year that we would have all been there at the same time, but tremendous, tremendous athlete. Has a little bit of a weird arm slot on his passes, so at times the offensive line is able to get their hands up. That led to the first the only turnover, I guess, for Nebraska this last week against Michigan. First pass of the ball game, second play, tipped at the line. Of course, as Husker fans would know, any bounce that can be a bad bounce for you is going to go directly to the other team, and it went right into their arms, interception. But tremendous athlete, and if he can get into a little bit of space, he's fast. Like he'll go, and it'll make you start to think a little bit of quarterbacks of old for Nebraska, but the rest of the offense is not that same way. Heinrich would have been just fine playing with some old 80s and 90s Huskers,
right?
Because you think about how big and talented those offensive lines were, how deep the rest of the backfield was, how talented everyone was on the edge, no matter how many times they threw the ball. Nebraska just doesn't have that right now. So although it's going to be Harburg, Jeff Sims started the first couple of games until he had a high ankle sprain. We haven't really seen him since. He ran in for one play a couple games ago, but that was just because Harburg's helmet had come off, so he just had to spell him for the play. And Sims, whichever one's out there, it's going to be the same thing. They want to run. They're going to pass if they have to, but there's just not enough weapons really out there with this offense to operate at a high level.
Okay. Yeah. And that is, Illinois has had an interesting offense. They get yards, don't get as much scoring as you'd like at, you know, under 20 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting thing. Illinois has an issue with penalties, and somehow it's a situation that the penalty comes up. Not only is it bad that it's a penalty, but it's always at the worst time.
Oh,
I don't know. I don't know that I've seen a team, and it doesn't matter whether it's offense or defense. So I guess there's a weird consistency to it, but they are consistent at being able to take key third down situations and get the yellow flag thrown on you, and then either A, extend a drive for the opposing team, or put yourself in a position that you're going to have a hard time keeping your drive alive.
Well, you might see that from Nebraska's offense on Friday. That has been a key for Nebraska, not just this year, but it seems like in the past you'll have a good drive, and then a false start. Or just out of nowhere, a late sub and then a delay of game and just something happened, an illegal shift. And Nebraska has had those come up at the worst times. Now, here's the biggest difference, I'll tell you, at the quarterback position with Harburg over Jeff Sims. And yeah, the competition's been a little bit different up until Harburg took on number two Michigan this last week. It's that Jeff Sims had 7 turnovers in 7 quarters. Harburg has now started 3 games and played most of the fourth quarter against Colorado, so 13 quarters, he's got 2 turnovers. Now, there have been a few lucky bounces, I suppose, that guys just didn't catch for Northern Illinois and Louisiana Tech, and he's had a couple, he dropped a couple of snaps against Michigan, but they were able to get back on the ball. So he's had a little bit of luck. I don't know how coaching staffs evaluate luck, but that's one of the things that Harburg has had on his side and Jeff Sims hadn't. So from a pure turnover standpoint, Harburg manages the game and takes care of the football a little bit more.
Yeah, and Illinois has not been particularly strong at forcing turnovers. Had a key one that saved the game against Toledo. But beyond that, you know, it has been very hard to turn over the other team. And then when you're getting a lot of penalties, you end up in a really rough space.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been, that's really been the story of Illinois this season. So offensive line wise, how is this line? Are they typical Nebraska line? Do they have the road graders for run blocking? What are they good at?
So when you say typical Nebraska line, there's kind of two minds there. There's the people outside of Nebraska and the people inside of Nebraska. Outside of Nebraska, you think typical Nebraska line, and it's these big guys who are going to go throw people around. Inside Nebraska, we've seen the offensive line have issues going all the way back to kind of a little bit the last year of Mike Riley, all of the Scott Frost era, and then continuing here. The offensive line for really any position group, offense or defense, is the most healthy. They haven't had to be continuously rotating guys. Just there hasn't been maybe as much development as you would want. The pass pro really isn't there. There are a lot of times where if the defense dials up pressure, they just kind of ole and let the defense go by depending on the guy. Now, there are a lot of athletes on this offensive line, specifically at your guards with Nori Nwuneli and Ethan Piper. And anytime you can pull those guys, and Nebraska likes to when they get into their run game, those guys are getting downfield and they can go get some blocks on the second level. And ultimately that's what Matt Rhule wants to do with the offense. He wants to be a power running team, even if it's in the I formation, two tight ends, or spread it out. He still wants to be a power running team, no matter what they look like out there. So the offensive line, I would say, is a little bit ahead of what they were last year in terms of being able to run block, open up some holes against teams. The pass blocking hasn't really been there, except for this last week, which was really weird because Nebraska could not run the ball at all and then threw for almost a couple hundred yards and looked decent getting into some passing situations with a quarterback that I don't want to throw 30 times a game. But when you get behind, like you're down 14-0 early in the first quarter, you kind of do have to start opening up the offense. So for the offensive line, they looked better against the pass this last week. And that's not something I would have expected against Michigan, but also if anyone has watched Michigan's first several games, they're not dialing up a lot of pressure yet. They're saving a lot of stuff until they get into their last few games where they're going to start to see real tough competition.
Yeah, it almost looks like Michigan reminds me of a pro team, you know, in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
We're not showing in. We're just going to run a dive. We're going to run some out patterns and a slant. And
they're not getting complicated yet.
Yes. Yeah. No. That definitely seems. Harbaugh seems to be gearing up for his us against the world against Ohio State. And who am I to criticize? Because the last 2 years, he's been a Picasso painting a masterpiece.
Yep.
Whenever they play those guys, the rushing attack is interesting because Heinrich is leading the team in rushing yards. What is in the backfield besides obviously a good sized quarterback who's got some wheels? What does the rest of the rushing attack look like back there for the Cornhuskers?
Well, first, from a play-calling standpoint, once they did go to Harburg, it felt like they switched up a little bit of the offense, and they still do zone read because everyone does zone read. You have to. That's in the basic package anymore. But they started to go a little bit more almost triple option look where he's under center, and you'll see him reverse pivot out, and he's sprinting down the line almost like a veer and trying to – well, he's going to make a read on the defensive tackle, and it's like, okay – this is something from 15 years ago at the very least. So the offensive play calling changed a little bit, and Harburg runs it pretty well. He doesn't pitch it a whole lot. So that's part of why he's keeping so many of them, and he finds some space, and he's had some long runs. Nebraska's top two running backs coming into the season are both out for the season with injuries, Gabe Irvin and Ramir Johnson. And I know when we get to special teams, Johnson will come up over there as well, because he's a tremendous pass catcher. If he could get the ball in space, they didn't really find him a whole lot. And Gabe Irvin has just had the worst luck. So now you're down to Anthony Grant, who was your number one running back a year ago, almost had 1,000 yards, but was kind of buried a little bit to start the year and had some fumbling issues in camp. But he looks like a guy. He had over 20 carries this last week, and it seems like he's going to have to be that guy. Then from there, it became a couple of true freshmen. Quentin Ives hasn't touched the ball yet. They're trying to work him in, probably redshirt. And Emmett Johnson, super athletic back, got just a couple of carries. But a guy that Rhule had with him and had known since his time in Texas, Josh Fleeks, transfers up to Nebraska as a wide receiver. As a matter of fact, gets sent home at the start of fall camp because he came in overweight. So he didn't even get to take part in fall camp till everyone else got back to start the regular practicing ahead of their first game week. He transitions over this last week from wide out to running back, He carries the ball one time, 72 yards touchdown to make it so Nebraska doesn't get shut out at home for the first time since 1968. Immediately, he jumps up. He's second on the depth chart this week, as we saw it released on Monday. So you've got a lot of speed, kind of dynamic with Fleeks. Anthony Grant just wants to go run through some people. Then Emmett Johnson is going to be kind of that wild card back there. He's wildly athletic, but he hasn't had a lot of carries, so you don't know what you can do with him.
Well, you know, I got to give him credit, though. Over 70 yards a carry is probably pretty good on
We're
just
pretty
about
sure anything. He's number one on the school record books for yards per carry.
Yes. So, it's quite an accomplishment, especially in Nebraska. And I guess the sad thing for him is no matter what happens, it's downhill from here.
Oh, yeah. It's really hard to improve what you've done already.
Yeah. As in doing it against Michigan, who, let's face it, the one thing Michigan does well is they defend the run.
Mm-hmm.
So oh, yeah. Running against Georgia might be a better accomplishment, but that's there's not many teams tougher than Michigan. So when we look at the pass receiving core, who are the targets going to be, and what should Illini fans be looking for through the air?
Well, Billy Kemp just lines up in the slot, and they try to just find him in space and get him the ball. At times, they'll bring him in motion. He might line up in the backfield as well. Just try to get Kemp the ball in any way possible. If you think a few years ago when Nebraska had Wandale Robinson, definitely not to that same athletic level, but that's what this still Nebraska is trying to do, just get him the ball. They haven't been very good at it, but there are times he does get it in space, and he looks pretty good. Marcus Washington, another wideout, still not a super big guy, but they try to find him downfield. For a pass catcher, and especially for Heinrich Harburg at quarterback, he dials in on the tight end Thomas Fedoni. Those guys got recruited at the same time. They've been roommates ever since they got to college, and it's almost a Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce situation. I just know there's a big body down there, and I'm going to throw it up to him. Fedoni didn't have a touchdown against Michigan, but he had touchdowns in three straight games before that. So that's a guy that Harburg clearly trusts, and he's going to go find him in situations, especially if he can just throw it up towards the sideline to him. Outside of that, there are a lot of really talented, really fast, really big freshman receivers, but they're just not there yet. You might see him come in for a specific package and see Jaden Doss run across the middle. He got a catch late in this last game that set up a Hail Mary as they were trying to work on some stuff. Malachi Coleman, 4-star out of right here in Lincoln, and he's super big target, just hasn't been able to be on the field a whole lot between injuries and getting the playbook down. And then you've got Jalen Lloyd out of Omaha, who was he would have been an All-American sprinter, like that kind of good. He's a tremendous jumper. He's going to be on the track team here at Nebraska as well. And he's come in for some situations, taking a ball on a sweep, but just those guys haven't been on the field consistently to make a great impact.
Now, I just want to go, Fedoni does not have any type of relationship with a Taylor Swift level person the way Travis Kelce does. Not quite.
And okay, I think what you would have to do at that point is go, what would be around a 20, 21 year old? So I don't know if Olivia Rodrigo is going to show up in Champaign.
Well, if so, just tip off the folks at the network, and
absolutely,
we'll make sure to get them on screen 18 times. It was funny last night looking at Travis, or looking at Mahomes's wife, who just did not look happy in the picture they took. My thought process was the one that she looked disappointed in, she was looking right at a chicken finger, and I'm just thinking, how bad are the chicken fingers there?
Yeah, I don't think MetLife is known for their chicken fingers.
I would say that there appears to be something wrong there. So we are running out of steam with the offense. We will be right back after this message, and we will talk about the special teams for the Cornhuskers. Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across this great nation, or halfway across the planet, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Whether it's game results or what's going on in recruiting behind the scenes, IlliniGuys.com covers it. Only $99 a year, and you get a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button that's right next to the 7-day free trial, and we'd love to have you as a subscriber.
IlliniGuys.com.
All right. So Caleb, we're looking at the big picture here. What will the Illini be facing when they look at the kicking game, both from the kicking and the punting side, and obviously the return game of the Nebraska Cornhuskers? It sounded like when you were talking about, especially the receiving depth, sounds like they could put like about 10 guys back there who could break it all the way on the kickoff or punt return. That's a little scary.
Yeah, there are a lot of really talented guys, and it's unfortunate, again, that there was the injury to Ramir Johnson at running back, because he broke a really good return at Minnesota to set Nebraska up across midfield and really get things going out of halftime to where it felt like Nebraska was going to go win that game. And he was the main return guy from the get-go. He gets hurt. Now it's mostly Tommy Hill back there. And that would be, I guess you would say he's the guy out at Colorado, Hunter, and Hunter.
Yep.
He's Travis Hunter kind of without the interceptions or all of the pass catches for touchdowns.
Oh,
he's
a dynamic athlete.
Yeah, he's a dynamic athlete. He plays both sides of the ball and special teams. It's really hard to take him off the field. He's the kind of guy that Matt Rhule wants. So Hill is primarily going to be the guy doing a lot of the return work, but Nebraska hasn't shown anything that they're going to be dangerous with any of their returns. And that's kind of just been the MO for the last several years since DeMorne Pearsonell and JD Spielman. It's Nebraska just hasn't had a return guy do anything, punt or kick return. As for kicking, Nebraska hasn't really given up long returns. They've stifled that part of it. That had been an issue here for a few years. Punting, Brian Buscini, he's really, really good, and he's going to put most of them inside the 20 if he can. He's got a handful of different punts he can pull out. He looked really bad in Boulder, though, which is an odd place. You would think with the elevation and the lighter air that would be a punter's paradise, and that was the one place he kind of looked bad. So he does have the ability to get the shanks a little bit, but for the most part, if Nebraska goes to punting, it's the old Big Ten West, punting is winning type of thing that Iowa likes. So Nebraska can play that game. They have a punter that can play into that for the most part. Field goal situation is super iffy right now. Nebraska's rolling out a true freshman in Tristan Alvano, who did hit 5 field goals, including a 50-yarder in the state championship a year ago in Memorial Stadium. And that ultimately netted him a scholarship offer. He comes to Nebraska. He makes his first field goal up at Minnesota. Since then, he's gone 0-for-3. So 1-for-4 on the season. And you think that's a position you don't want to get some of those yips, especially for a young guy. But Matt Rhule said on Monday that he trusts Alvano, trusts him to work through it just like the rest of the team. Now, something that I think Illini fans will definitely need to be watching is if you get to a field goal situation, Nebraska did run a fake from a field goal, snapped it to the holder and ran 10 yards on a 4th-and-4. So Nebraska does have the gall to run some fakes on special teams if they feel they need to. So it's not just defense got out of there, only giving up a field goal attempt here. No, the Illini fans are still going to want to keep their eyes on what is that holder doing? What's everyone else on the field doing until that ball is officially kicked on special teams? Because you never know with Nebraska right now at this point.
Yeah, and is Matt Rhule a guy who is going to use a lot of trickery through the course of a game?
It depends, and because he's pulled out a little bit. Obviously, they pulled that one out there. If you go back to the Minnesota game, they did a reverse where they got it over to Anthony Grant and he threw it back to Jeff Sims, who didn't catch the ball cleanly either. In the backfield, it bounces off his hands, off the turf, right back up to him, and he throws a touchdown pass because there's nobody within 20 yards of a receiver after you think they just threw it back to the quarterback. So they've rolled out a few of these different things offensively and on special teams, and I think with where you're at depth-wise, they're trying to get more creative at getting some of their playmakers into positions that they can be special, because if you just line up 11 on 11, those guys don't have the space to do that right now. So they're trying to be creative, even on special teams.
Yeah, and what do you think, you know, locally, what was the expectation on wins for Nebraska this year? You know, the the local media tends to be probably a little bit more optimistic in a college town. But what, you know, when you were doing your predictions at the start of the year, how many wins did you have this team achieving in year one?
I kept oscillating between 5-7 and 6-6. And if you were looking at your largest grouping for media and fans locally and across the state, it's weird to talk about Nebraska and say locally and think just Lincoln and in Lancaster right. County, because locally might be Scott Bluff thing. And that's several hours west, and locally is the whole darn state at this point. But the majority of people that were weighing in, kind of talking about the season, it was 5-7 to 7-5. Okay. And you'd get some outliers say, nope, it's going to be a 2-10 in a typical Matt Rhule first year. And some that were all over the Kool-Aid saying 10-2. And I think the healthy place was right in the middle for a lot of people, 5-7 wins.
So how important is this game? You know, Illinois is in the same boat, 2-3. You don't have a lot of good teams on the schedule, but then again, neither of these teams is striking fear in their opponent's heart either.
Right.
How big is this game? I hate to say that the sixth game of the season is a big game, because there's always a tomorrow, but boy, it seems like a big game. Both these teams need this win in the worst way.
Yeah. And it sets up what we're calling and I even said on our radio show here in Lincoln on KLIN, how massive it is considering what Nebraska has still to come. Because after this week, there's a bye week. So you get a little bit of time to rest. So you never want to lose going into that extended break, because now that's all you have to think about.
Yeah.
But for Nebraska in October, at Illinois, home with Northwestern, home with Purdue. And then you start out November, first one is at Michigan State. But for those first three, I have said that those are the opportunity in front of Nebraska to either set up an excruciating November or an intriguing November, because if Nebraska gets two out of those three, they're up to 4 wins with games on the schedule still of at Michigan State, home with Maryland, at Wisconsin, home with Iowa. And every one of those programs left on the schedule, sans Maryland, has got all kinds of issues, whether they're just not playing up to expectations, they've had injuries at key positions, or all kinds of off-field stuff from the offseason to right now in the middle of the season. So there's so much happening in the Big Ten and the Big Ten West that for Nebraska, these three games in October are going to define what's possible for the season, and especially what happens Friday night. And I know that, just like you said, that shouldn't be the case 6 games in, but where Nebraska is as a program, hasn't been to a bowl game since 2016. There are certain turning points that happen over the course of the year. And for Nebraska, it's this Friday.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Illinois' schedule isn't much different. I will say the one team that scares me is Michigan State, because they've got some talent on that roster. And I look at them as being the football equivalent of Russian roulette. Mm-hmm. You know, there's one bullet in the chamber. They're going to have one good game this year. You just don't want to be the team that they play up to their potential, because they've got some talent there. They haven't been able to put it together very consistently. And obviously they've got a miasma of crap that they're having to swim yep. through as well, which, you know, the players have absolutely nothing to do with. It's the exactly. adults that kind of ruined it there. We'll be right back after this, and we'll talk about Nebraska's defense. Make sure you subscribe to the full family of Illini Guys podcasts, starting out with Eye on the Illini. That's where you can listen to myself, Brad, Ked, Matt, and others talk about the recent Illini events that are in the news. Sturdy for 30 is Brad's award-winning podcast, where you can hear 20 years of people that he's made contact with to talk about all things Illini. And Ked's Recruiting Roundup, where he talks to players, coaches, and parents about what it's like to be recruited. Make sure you subscribe to all of those so you're always in the know. And we're back with friend of the show, Caleb Henry, both friend of Big Sports Radio, and whether he knows it or not, friends of the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. So we're always happy to have him stop by. Caleb, the defense of Nebraska has allowed more you know, they had a couple games where they allowed some points, but they've also limited some offenses as well. So what do Illini fans have to expect, you know, when they're going up against this defense?
Well, and when you look at the points that this defense gave up, Michigan was Michigan. Like that's its own outlier. Michigan took it so that Nebraska's, where they rank nationally in rush defense, went from first to like 15th. So, and not to say that the first four teams Nebraska played were heavyweights by any means, but you still have to hold teams down no matter who they are.
Right.
And then the points given up against Colorado, the defense for the most part continued to be set up in poor positions because of turnovers from the offense. So some of those start to look like outliers, but for the most part, Nebraska running a 3-3-5 this year. They're going to try to get, for the most part, the last couple of games, pressure with just four. But when they do bring pressure, there are times that they're sending six. Like they're trying to get some heat on the quarterback. And through the first three games, I believe it was, Nebraska was in the top four in the country in sacks. So there is the potential to bring a lot of pressure there. Really good secondary, especially when you look at a guy like Quentin Newsom. He kind of shuts down one side of the field. A lot of guys have just opted to not throw near him. They identify where he's at, and they run stuff the other direction. So and that's always difficult on a guy in the secondary when it's like, oh, he's really good. He has no interceptions in his career. Because people know when they see him out there how dangerous he is. Now, here's the thing about Nebraska's defense. Injuries all over the place.
Okay.
We learned that Cam Lenhart, one of the defensive ends, so one of your guys right up on the line, he's potentially back this week. You have got Luke Reimer at linebacker. He is going to be out this week. You have got several other guys that have left with injuries over the course of the first five games on this season. And you have a lot of guys that are true freshmen or sophomores that are now bumping up in the depth chart that you did not anticipate going to be there. Now, they're not all getting their first snaps this Friday by any means, because Nebraska has rotated so many guys. There have been games that Nebraska has played 20 some guys on defense because they are constantly rotating them in there. Being a starter meant you're probably getting 60 to 70% of the snaps, but they've been rotating so many guys in there. And right in the middle, again, hopefully he's healthy. He ended up leaving a little bit last game. Nash Hutmaker, he pushes over guys in the middle of that line. He was getting triple teamed by Northern Illinois. Michigan's guys tended to handle him a little bit better. At your second level, Nick Henrich, John Bullock, depending on where they're at with some of their jack stuff, Chief Borders has gotten a little bit more run. MJ Sherman, a transfer, has gotten a little bit more run. And then in your secondary, a lot of Quentin Newsom, Omar Brown has had some good games. Phelan Sanford is a little bit of a surprise right now where he's at, moving up to a starting spot on the safety, because he has been a special teams dude. Like he goes down there. If you see a punt, he is the gunner getting to the goal line to turn around and stop that ball. But he's so athletic, from a small town here in Nebraska, always tests out of the charts. If all you had to do to get into the NFL was go to the combine and dominate that, he would be the first pick in the draft. They're just an athletic guy, but he's going to start to get some more run just because of where a lot of the depth has come down due to injuries.
If you were going to say what is the strength of this defense, what position?
Stopping the run. And kind of regardless of position, we've seen a lot of guys in the secondary go up and make some big hits in the backfield. Malcolm Hartzog has flown around the field, and you're like, well, that's supposed to be a guy back there deflecting passes, and they'll get some tackles for loss. So it's stopping the run and trying to get the offense into third and long situations. Nebraska's been kind of bad in third and long situations, but they haven't given up big plays. They'll leave some guys on some islands, but they haven't been giving up big plays. So if what Illini fans are looking at this Friday, can you get the run game going? And if you can, that's significantly going to hurt Nebraska's defense, because other than Michigan, nobody has run the ball on Nebraska so far this season. Everyone has had to resort to passing, and we know that works out pretty well for Colorado right now when they can get in a shootout and a comeback with USC, who also has a garbage defense. But yeah. but if Illinois is forced to throw the ball, that's going to be what Nebraska wants. If they can get a little bit of run game going, that's exactly what Nebraska doesn't want going into the game.
Well, and the concern that you talk about is, you know, Illinois is giving up, just looking right on, you know, fightingillini.com, Illinois has given up 21 sacks in the first five games. Mm-hmm. Luke Altmyer has been very good when he's not under duress, and he hasn't been horrific outside of the turnover-laden Penn State game, you know, but he hasn't thrown a boatload of interceptions considering the number of the amount of hits he's taken.
Mm-hmm.
How's the how's the Cornhusker pass rush? And hopefully it won't remind us of the Buckeye pass rush.
Yeah. Well, hopefully for you guys, hopefully for us, we'd be okay with that a little bit.
Yeah.
It's been so much better this year than what it has been for several. And that's been one of there are two things Nebraska fans have wanted for several years: pressure on the quarterback and throwing the ball to the tight end. Well, hey, we've got both of that, but the team's 2-3 right now and playing for their life on a Friday night game in Champaign. But the pressure on the quarterback mostly have gone with rushing four over the last couple of weeks. But for the first few weeks, they were dialing up pressures 5-6, leaving guys in man coverage. There were times that they were going out there with no safety over the top. And we were watching in the press box saying, why are we in zero? Well, what's happening out here? And then you see it would look like a video game and engage eight would happen. And all of a sudden just a bunch of dudes are in the backfield. And a big part of that is because of what Nash Hutmaker can do in the middle of that offensive line, to where you have to commit multiple bodies to him. And the linebackers are so dynamic to find a little bit of space or come off the edge and get into that backfield. They've done a really good job. Didn't get there against Michigan. Didn't get there a whole lot in their last non-conference game, but they have shown an ability this year, which they haven't in previous years, an ability to get some quarterback hurries and get some sacks and get in that backfield.
Well, I'm almost wondering how much they may dial up, because Illinois' pass, you know, offensive line protection has been not good on running, because they haven't been able to really get that going. And it's been horrible on pass protection. Like I said, Luke Altmyer, it's scary how many hits he's taken when you think of a guy being sacked, you know, 21 times before you're even into your sixth game. That adds up to a very long and bruise covered season.
Right. Now, here's the thing about Nebraska's defense that they especially do not do well: they don't force turnovers. The majority of Nebraska's turnovers, they got two against Minnesota, but one came right at the end in garbage time. And then you got to Colorado, one at the end in garbage time. You got to Louisiana Tech, got one in garbage time. And just continuously, they're not forcing any turnovers. And they'll fly around to the ball, keep everything in front of them. There's all kinds of intensity everywhere on the field, but they're not taking the football away. If you start out the year and you average a turnover a quarter on offense, and then you get to the defense never taking the ball away. So Nebraska's gotten pressure on the quarterback. They want to get teams to throw the ball a little bit more, so their athletes on the edge and in the secondary can go make some plays, but they just have not caught the ball, have not stripped the ball. And if any time the ball does come out on special teams, it amazingly pops right back to the punt returner for Michigan, and he makes a 30-yard return on that.
So that sounds very much like Illinois' defense. You know, we've had some fumbles that bounce right back into the opposing team's hands. It's been interesting, you know, how the team hasn't been able to generate the turnover. They've generated some fumble opportunities, but it's bounced, you know, football's a crazy thing, and it's bounced the other direction. I'm feeling like this will be the resistible object versus the movable force going into each other, because these two teams seem to have similar set of weaknesses, and a similar back against the wall philosophy. But the difference, I think, that has Illini fans kind of rattled is they were hoping with the new coaches in the Big Ten to maybe go 2-1 against them. Now, that's not saying it's impossible, but Wisconsin has a much better roster than anybody outside of Iowa in the Big Ten West. So Illinois fans were hoping to beat Purdue. Well, that turned into a blowout with 16-13 at the half and 44-19 at the game end. That was not acceptable by even, you know, I even think Josh Whitman had to be frustrated as an athletic director going over to the game and seeing that. And then, you know, it would be something to go 0-3 against first year coaches. Mm-hmm. Or even start off 0-2 would be something that would not bode well, because you kind of like to look and say, hey, we're in the third year. You've got to go a couple years to catch up to us.
Right.
Not blow us out.
Right. Right. Yeah. Again, that Purdue one just seemed like it kind of snowballed on you guys this last week. Nebraska has not shown the ability right now to snowball anybody. It seems like this is truly setting up to end up being a 9-7 game, a 12-10, something like that. And if one team forces a turnover, that's going to feel massive compared to how both teams have taken care of the ball and how their defenses haven't really forced the turnovers.
And both teams have been down early in their losses. And I almost wonder if one team were to get down early a little bit, will that take the fight out of them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you it's just like, oh, great, here we go again.
Right.
You know, Illinois has had some poor first half starts, and they've paid for them. And even, you know, their win over Toledo, they were down, and it required a little bit of, you could really go to one play where Altmaier makes a pass that he doesn't even see the result of because he gets hit. And Casey Washington makes an incredible play to fight the ball away from a defender, and they get a first down, extremely improbable, and that leads to them, you know, winning the game. Mm-hmm. But you take that one play out, and Illinois could be coming in here 1-4. And
yeah, Nebraska hasn't really, other than Michigan, Nebraska hasn't been down in the first half. They've played tighter with teams that they shouldn't have in a couple of their non-conference. Late in the third quarter, they were only down 13-7 to Colorado. And then Minnesota, Nebraska had the ball late enough in that game. They should have been in a place to not turn it over, and they're able to just kind of run out of clock. So for Nebraska, I think if Illinois does get up, let's say 2 scores in the first half, I know you guys feel really good about that, because that's not a thing that has necessarily happened this year. I don't think Nebraska will feel out of it quite yet if it's 14-0 or 14-3 at halftime. I think if you get longer into the third quarter and the offense isn't moving the ball, they've got a couple of turnovers and the defense is starting to kind of get run down, then it'll definitely feel that way, to where there's not a lot of fight in the fourth. But this Nebraska team has shown, and I feel like I have to keep throwing the qualifier in there just because it's such an outlier, besides Michigan, Nebraska has shown that whatever happens in that first half, they come out with a different energy in the second half. They make the adjustments in the locker room and get some things going in that third quarter. So I think whatever happens in the first half, at least from what I've seen from Nebraska, they won't feel out of it unless things have really begun to snowball early.
So now I have to ask you the magic question. Who's going to win, and what do you think the score is going to be?
Ooh, well, I will, because right now I believe Illinois is favored by about a field goal, 2.5, I think, the last that I had looked.
Okay.
I think I will still go. I will go Nebraska 14, Illinois 11.
Okay.
11 sounds like a funky number, but we've already seen it happen to Nebraska this year.
Yeah. Well, and it's the Big Ten West. So,
yep.
You know, that's, I'm thinking it's going to be, I think Illinois is going to pull it together for this game. And I think it's going to be like 23-17. I think it'll be one of those games. It'll be down to one possession, and it will come down to one defensive stop. And, you know, if the yellow flags come out because of an undisciplined call, or somebody has to, you know, Illinois' biggest problem is, you know, you make a great play and then you chirp about it to the point where you get yourself in trouble, and out comes the flag and you turn a punt into a first down. Mm-hmm. And so they have to escape those plays. That's why it may come down to one set of downs that they come through as opposed to getting a penalty. You know, Illinois has had the darndest things happen where they will get a turnover. They will stop a team on third down. And then you look at the laundry on the ground and you end up with a first down and the drive is extended yet again.
Yeah. So that would not surprise me at all. It is a 23-17 Illini. That it's not one of those things that I'd look at and go, man, how'd that happen?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that right now, the way the teams are playing, I don't know that either of them could be favored by more than, you know, 2 points, but we will see. It's one of those games where, again, somebody's got to win. And I think discipline, you know, which has not been Illinois' forte, if they can just get some discipline back, I think they could create a little bit of margin. And I'm not talking, you know, 38-10.
Right.
I'm talking 23-16 you know, 16 or 17.
Just enough.
Yes, yes. We will be right back after that, and we'll wrap up the show.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by broadcasting on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. We have over 20 stations, including stations in Chicago, St. Louis, Champaign, Decatur, Springfield, Bloomington, the Quad Cities, Rockford, Peoria, Marion, Quincy, and Jacksonville, amongst others. You can reach over 11 million people in the state of Illinois by partnering with us. Send me an email, mike@IlliniGuys.com, and let's find a way that we can build your business together.
So this is Illini Guy Mike Kegley. Wanted to thank Caleb Henry from KLIN in Lincoln, Nebraska, for stopping by. Caleb, any final thoughts or anything that we didn't talk about that you were like, you know what, I wanted to mention this?
Oh, it feels like, I know Nebraska, at least with any of these media deals that come out, they're never going to put a Friday night game in Lincoln, Nebraska. I feel like Illinois is getting the short end of the stick on a lot of these. So I appreciate you guys for putting up with those. That the Big Ten and the TV networks feel like that's one of the locations that they can throw some of these Friday night games. I know Nebraska has played there in the past. Had it been on a Saturday, I wanted to go visit some friends that I have live in that area, come down to the game. One of these times it's going to get back on a Saturday, I'll come down there. But mostly I want to thank Illini fans for putting up with having to have so many of these games year in and year out on a Friday at home.
You know, I look at that, And I don't know exactly how Bielema looks at it, but I look at it as, you know, the Dallas Cowboys created their image by volunteering to be on Thanksgiving every year when other teams didn't want to do it. Mm-hmm. And they kind of, you know, they, when they stunk, people forget, you know, well, actually people don't forget because they've been so bad the last 25 years, but people forget that they used to be horrific. And they built that reputation. And then all of a sudden the other teams are like, why can't we be on Thanksgiving? And so I look, you know, if I'm Brett Bielema, if I'm an Illini coach, we're a program that has been down. I mean, 8 winning seasons since John Makovic left in 1991. They've been down for a while, 81-91. They had 8 winning seasons in that 10-year decade. And they haven't been able to recapture that. If you can put on a good show on Friday nights, you have a night that you're not going to have to worry about being pushed off of Sports Center because of Dion, because of Ohio State, because of Georgia, because of, you know, list goes on. But that does mean you have to play a good game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where therein lies the rub, I guess. And so I think it could be a good thing. I think Bielema looks at it as, okay, I've been given some lemons. Let's see if we can make some lemonade. But the pressure's on him this Friday to make something happen. So we really appreciate you coming on. If you're going to get into town this year, you'll have to go to Papa Del's, not far away, and you can test that against some of Lincoln's pizza to see which you like better.
Definitely. I'll make that happen.
Perfect. Thank you very much. And folks, we will be back, obviously, later in the week. We will have full coverage of the game. And, of course, we always want to finish off with the Go Illini.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.